Are you ready? Because I just sense there's faith in this church. I just sense there's a hunger for God. Where's the band? Where are you guys? You guys mustn't go too far. Okay. I think we're gonna worship a bit more just now. So don't sit too comfortably there. Just want to say to you guys, I really believe God is saying to you, preserve your unity. Because I believe God's going to do great things through you guys. Seriously. You're going to be standing in front of lots of people. But remain humble. Okay. Remain committed to what God is saying to you now. But I believe you must dream big. But preserve your unity. Don't go your separate ways. Preserve your unity. God's doing something special here. Okay. I just want to say that to you guys. I want to share a few stories this morning, and then I really believe, I don't want to stand in the way of what the Holy Spirit wants to do this morning. I really believe God wants to touch each one of us in a special way this morning. So I'm just going to share a few stories, and then I really want God to come and touch all of us, me included. Okay, sorry. But I just want you to be quiet for a while. The Lord asked me a question the other day. He said, Alistair, are you listening? And then I was like, what for, God? The next sermon? Or, you know, what? He just said, are you listening? Are you listening to the beating of my heart? So I just want us to be quiet for a while. Because I want you to answer that question that God is asking you. Are you listening? Are you listening to him? Are you listening to him this morning? What is he saying to you? So let's just close our eyes for a while. Just listen to his heart beating. Father, we just want to thank you this morning for your anointing and your presence here, God. Lord, I want to thank you for moments of silence where we can hear what you are saying. Lord, we don't want to just do the church thing, Lord. This morning, we be touched by you, Jesus. This morning, we've got an expectation to hear your heart, Lord. To respond to your heart this morning. Lord, be glorified in our midst, God. We welcome you, Holy Spirit. We welcome you, each one of us this morning. We welcome you to minister to our needs, Lord. To minister to the deepest parts of our hearts this morning. Lord, we lay aside every distraction right now. Every fear, every worry, Lord, everything, even the tiredness, Lord. I sense some people are tired and they just want the end of the year to come. But thank you, Lord, that the 1st of January is not a fresh start, Lord. The fresh start is here in your presence. Thank you for revival to start in our hearts, Lord. Revival begins with each one of us, God. We heal to your spirit this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. I grew up in the Eastern Cape in the town of Graaf-Reinet, or for the Afrikaners, Graaf-Reinet. I grew up on a farm, very shy little boy, very isolated from lots of people when I was small. So I was very shy, and you know, when people used to come visit my parents, I would run into my room and just hide and just make as if I was doing anything else because I was so scared of people. I was so afraid just to say hello to people even. And then I went to high school and I was sent far away. I was sent to Port Elizabeth to go to school, and it was quite scary for me to go away from home. And then on the 19th of March 1992, I was 15 years old. And I believe I was sent to the school in Port Elizabeth primarily for one purpose. To meet Jesus Christ. And so I grew up religious. I grew up in a very traditional church. And my parents would go to church, and then they decided, you know, church is not really working for them, so they didn't really go anymore. And on the farm, obviously, it was far to go to church, so sometimes the minister would come out to minister to the farms. But church wasn't so much of a priority. God wasn't so much of a priority for our family. We knew about God. But I was confronted when I was 15 years old at school. An evangelist, two evangelists, Peter Pollock and Trevor Goddard, past cricket players, came to preach the gospel. They would do school outreaches. And at the time, God was really working with me. And he started to draw me to himself, because I knew about him, but I didn't realize that I could have a personal relationship with him. And so when these guys preached, they said, listen here, Alistair, they didn't tell me, but that was what God was saying to me. Peter Pollock said, if there's no change in your life, there's no Jesus. And I was like, but I know about Jesus. I know Jesus. I know about him. I know something about him. But when I heard that there must be a change in my life, I realized, but I better do something about this. And so I gave my life to the Lord. I can't remember if they made an altar call or not, but I gave my life to Jesus in my own hostel bed. There was quiet time that we used to have, and I just sat there that night. I waited for my birthday because I wanted to remember the date. I wanted to remember the exact date I gave my life to Jesus. And so I wrote it down in a little pocket Bible. I've still got that little Gideon's pocket Bible that they gave us in Standard 6 when I was 14. So I knew that Bible was for a reason. So I wrote my name in the back of that Bible, and I prayed the prayer that night on my birthday, because that's my actual birthday. And so I wanted to be reborn. I wanted that to be my new birthday. So I'm actually now, what's that, 22 years old in the Lord, 1992 to 2014. So I'm still young, okay, even though I got a few gray hairs. But I committed my life to Jesus that day, and my life was never the same after that. I didn't get all the goosebumps or anything like that, because I wasn't filled with the Holy Spirit at the same time, because I didn't know even about the Holy Spirit. But I knew that I was saved. I knew I'm going to heaven. I knew Jesus touched me that day. And then I walked a journey, and I walked with the Lord all my life, although I was religious. I used to go to church and do the church thing every Sunday, and kind of fell back a little bit into where I grew up. But I knew I was a child of God. I knew I was loved by God, and that God wanted to use me, even though I was still very shy. And then in 2001, I came to Stellenbosch, and I went to another church, and I served there for a while, but I still felt the end of my fourth year, I was 22 years old, I felt my relationship with God doesn't seem to be going anywhere. I've got this awesome relationship with God, but I seem to be praying against the ceiling. And I still remember thinking, it seems like there's this roof, and I'm not breaking through to God. I know God is there, and I've got this relationship with him, but it seems like I'm doing a lot of stuff for him, but I'm not experiencing that abundant life that he promised in his word. And so I was invited to shofar at the time. I don't want to tell the whole story, but it was an amazing story of how God orchestrated me to be next to a guy who was in shofar. He was on fire, and he was like inviting me for 6 months to a cell group. He was saying, come, you've got to experience what we experience. I was like, oh, I've got my things, I've got my stuff, I've got my life, leave me. But God just didn't let me go. And after 6 months, I said to this guy, I want to go to a small group. And I went to the small group with him. I was freaked out by the charismatics. But I knew they had something that I didn't have. I knew they had the Holy Spirit there. Afterwards, I realized it was the Holy Spirit. It wasn't a religious thing. It was life. And they loved me so much. And eventually, I decided I need to commit to this church. So to cut a long story short, I decided to get baptized. I did the encounters, the foundation series, and all that. I decided to get baptized. And I also asked the guys to pray for me for the Holy Spirit, because I wanted to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I saw these guys could pray in tongues. I asked them, how do you pray in tongues? Like, how do you operate in the Spirit? And I eventually gave over, because I'm a very calculated type of guy. Okay, I studied engineering, so I would like to work things out if possible. And I couldn't work this thing out of speaking in tongues and of, you know, being filled with the Holy Spirit. I just couldn't work it out. But I had to yield to God. To cut a long story short, I got baptized, and I'll never forget, when I came out of the water of my baptism, I realized God has just touched me now in a profound way. And I was so inspired to do the will of God, and I realized that God is calling me to go and preach the gospel. God is calling me to be used by him. And God said to me that, Alistair, you're going to bear fruit for my life. You're going to bear fruit in your life for me. And so I'll never forget coming out of the water and knowing.
Let's use the different mic.
Sorry about that. This is better. I knew that God had touched me and that God had called me and He filled me with His Holy Spirit. I started to be able to speak in tongues through a process of, it was actually a weird process. I did the encounter one, the foundation one, and I knew I was filled with the Holy Spirit, but I couldn't quite get my tongue like to speak. And so Sias, the guy that Sias is, he tends to push you in the deep end. So he pushed me. He said to me, Alistair, you must come pray for other people to be filled with it, to be speaking in tongues. And I hadn't even got the tongue myself, but eventually I went forward and he said louder, louder. And so I got my tongue by praying for other people. I hadn't even waxed it myself, but I remember in the front of that, there was me and another guy and him, and then there were a few people doing the course, and he just said, you must start to pray in tongues. He didn't, because I'd been in the church for a while without doing the encounter, so he thought I was a leader. And I mean, obviously at the time I had potential, but I wasn't like, I was just a normal member. I wasn't even a member yet, actually. But that's how I really experienced God touching my life, God calling me to just minister His good news. And what I've been touched with, He wants to use that. And so that changed my life. I became bold for the Lord. I was very shy, as I said, and I became bold to live for the gospel and to live for the cause of Christ, because He touched me with His Holy Spirit, filled me. And I just look back and I'm amazed at God's faithfulness, that Yari is using me to stand in front of people to preach, to be a pastor. I mean, I never would have in my wildest dreams thought that this is my calling. I studied engineering and that's just what I was going to do. My parents said, this is the best for you. But God had other plans. So this morning, I just want to encourage you and I want to say to you that when God touches your life is never the same again. And some of you have been touched by God already, I know that. That's why you come back week after week. Maybe some of you have come here, you've been invited, I'm not sure. Maybe it's your first time, maybe not. But I believe God wants to continue to touch our lives. That's why we do Sunday church. That's why we do this. It's not just to come to church and to do the same old few worship songs and have an announcement and have a nice word that we can feel edified and then we go home. Because how often do we do the word that has been said to us? Do we really put our faith or our works to our faith? Do we hear something and do it? And I'm not trying to condemn you now, but I'm saying unless we have a revelation, unless we are touched by God, we will just go on. I had an experience with there at Free State University. We have to now, us who are working on campus, we've got to get access cards, okay? So it's a bit of a schlep because if you go to the gate, the boom's down, and if you don't have an access card, then you've got to sign in with the main gate, and it's a schlep. So I knew, I said to Belinda, my PA, I said, listen here, we've got to get access cards because I'm not struggling with the main gate every time because we go in and out of campus almost at least once a week or twice a week. So I went to the finance department, and we organized to go and get access cards for us as a chauffeur who are ministering on campus. And so I'm sitting there with the finance lady, or in the finance department then to get this card, and Belinda first went, and then she left. And so I shook this lady's hand behind the counter. I shook her hand, and I said, hi, I'm Alistair. And she was a bit freaked out by me shaking her hand. And I thought, that's weird. But anyway, but I think she just put cream on her hand. So I think she was a bit funny, I suppose, you know. So she thought. So I sat down there, and she started doing all the stuff to get my card ready. And then she said to me, are you from here? Are you from South Africa? I said, yes. I mean, the Kingwalls are... They're originally from England, but that was generations ago. I mean, my great-great-grandfather was, yeah, and yeah, I've been here all my life, you know. She said, oh, that's weird because when you shook my hand, you know, it was quite strange because we kind of don't do that really. And I thought, you know, with a woman, you know, I don't want to give her a hug kind of thing, and I don't know that well, okay, so I've just met her, so I'll shake her hand. But I really felt the boldness to just introduce myself and to connect with her. And then I kind of felt the Spirit saying to me, listen, yeah, this is an opportunity now. You know, when the Holy Spirit speaks and when you realize there's something stirring here, and I wasn't prepared. I was just like rushing in and out. Like, I'm quite a busy guy, so I don't like to, you know, waste too much time. So I just thought, let me get this card and go to my next meeting. And the Lord had other plans. The Lord wanted to do something. So I just felt the Spirit of the Lord saying, tell her now. This is like kind of weird. I said to her, Maybe Jesus has just shaken your hand. That's all I said. And I could see her eyes like going quite big, like, you know, when you use the name of Jesus, it's just the most powerful name. It always causes a reaction when you use the name of Jesus, amen. And so I said to her, maybe Jesus has just touched your life. Has just shaken your hand. And she was like, it's almost like she just wanted more. She wanted me to tell her more. So I said, you know what? I represent Jesus. Jesus lives inside of me. And so I just believe that Jesus wants to just touch your hand today. He wants to touch you. And she was like, you know, didn't know what to say. Now I asked her, I said, do you know Jesus? And she said, yes, I know him. And I said, no, do you know him personally? And it's like big eyes again. She said, but can we know him personally? I said, yes, of course we can. I said, do you go to church? She says, yes, I go to church. She even told me the church that she goes to. Nothing against this church, because I was just shocked. I'll tell you that now. But so I said, okay, do they not tell you that you can have a personal relationship with Jesus? She said, no, not suppose. Maybe they do. I don't know. But how, you know. And I said to her, all you need to do is just to pray. Praying is like speaking to God. It's just all you have to do. The Bible says, if you call upon the name of the Lord, you will be saved. Ask him. Speak to him and say to him, Jesus, I want to know you. I know about you, but I want to know you personally. And I said to her, you know what? I'm not going to pray. I'm not going to lead you in a prayer now. I want you to pray, because I could see that she was a good religious girl. She goes to church. She reads the Bible. I said to her, tonight you must pray and say, Jesus, I want to know you. But I'm going to pray for you right now that you know Jesus, that you get to know Jesus. Because I just then shared the whole of my testimony. I just shared that Jesus is just, for me, amazing. He's the most amazing person that I know. And I could see it was like news for her. I said, this is the good news. And I prayed for her, and she had tears in her eyes, and she like just wanted to know more. And she, but before I even prayed for her, she said, you know what, today I'm going to win the lotto. I'm going to be lucky. I'm lucky. Like she had this like lucky. I said, no, you're not lucky. Jesus has touched you today. And then it was like, whoa, okay, this is something bigger than just winning the lotto or being lucky. This is a touch from God. So I prayed for her and I left, and I'm going to follow up next year when I go back, because I know that she had an encounter with the Lord that day. But I was so shocked, and I was quite excited at the same time, because I thought, so many people come to church every Sunday and yet they don't know who Jesus is. And I realized for us as Shofar in Bloemfontein, maybe it's the same. Maybe the people sitting in my church and they don't know Jesus personally. Maybe there are people sitting here and you don't know Jesus. You know about him. When last did you hear his voice? When last did you hear him coming to affirm you and coming to touch you? Because I knew that day God touched me, but then through me, he touched someone else. And that's all he wants to do, is he wants to touch us, and then he wants to touch others through us. So I was excited, because I knew there's lots of work left in our city. There's lots of work left in the nation. There's lots of work left in the nations of the world. Because so many people don't know Jesus, although they say they know. But I want to focus today on you, individually. You, Donnie. You guys. You, Pierre, Christine. All of you, Bruce, Rihanna, Jacqueline, Jesus today wants to come and touch you. Jesus wants to come and say to you that he loves you so much. Because that's a revelation that I've been getting now. I've been in the ministry a couple of years, and I've been saying, God, what are we doing here? Do we really know you? And I'm just learning so much more about who Jesus is and his love for me. Even though I'm called and I'm supposed to change the world, I'm supposed to do so many things. But then walking on campus that day, I just realized Jesus loves me just as much as he loves all the other people. And he loves all the other people just as much as he loves me. He wants to just touch people. He just wants to love people. And it was so freeing, because I realized that's what I'm called for. I'm not called to build a massive organization. I'm not called to try and do something. I'm just called to be touched by Jesus and then touch others. Represent him to the world. So this morning, my prayer is, Because I believe that God is saying to you guys and to Standerton that He wants to bring reconciliation. He wants to bring restoration. Because I know that day when I touched that woman's life, I just knew God is saying He just wants to reconcile the person with Himself. That's all He wants to do. And I believe He wants to bring reconciliation even here this morning in lives. He wants to reconcile you to Himself, and then He wants to reconcile the body. Because when I'm connected to a couple of church people, even in Bloemfontein, and I just realize there's so much hurt in church. There's so much division. There's so many people out of church. Then I ask myself the question, what are we really doing? Are we representing Christ properly? Have we had a revelation of His love? Or do we cause even more hurts that the devil is really trying to bring? I believe some of you this morning, you just need a touch from Jesus this morning. Some of you in your bodies physically, you need a touch from Jesus. Some of you in your minds, you need to have your minds renewed about your thinking. Some of you in your hearts, you've been broken. Some of you don't know Jesus like that other lady. You don't know Him. You know about Him. But you don't know His heart for you this morning. And my faith is that there are vessels here, like Christine shared. There are vessels here that want to be filled by Jesus. That's what faith is. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not yet seen. It's saying, yeah, Jesus, even though I don't see it, I trust You to fill my jar right now, to fill my cup to overflowing. Because that is what's going to change Standerton. Standerton's going to be changed when we have the love of God poured out in us and overflowing. That people's opinions and people's stuff and issues will not offend us, will not hurt us. But we are the ones to bring reconciliation. We are the ones to bring life. And I believe that God wants to do something awesome here. But He first wants to start with you. And it's good, pray for the nations, pray, keep praying for others, but have that revelation where it's part of your life, that you can go and touch one other life. You can reconcile, you can be the good Samaritan to one other person. I believe the Lord wants to stretch people across cultural barriers. He wants you to be that good Samaritan who was totally rejected by the Jews, going to a Jewish man who was broken, and going to minister healing, going to minister the touch of Jesus on his life. And sometimes we'll have to spend more than just a few minutes with a lady behind a counter like I did. Sometimes we'll have to spend a night at the inn with someone. But whatever it is, Jesus just wants you to be touched by His love so that you can touch others. So my faith this morning is that God touches you with His love in whichever way you have. Whichever way you have need this morning. Because that will change the world when you are touched by God. That will change the world. You can change the world just for one person. That's all you need to do. And you can do that to the next person, to the next person, and the world will be better. But sometimes we want to touch masses at once. And you know, yeah, they can sort of be touched, but are they touched personally? We can have massive crusades and people will be touched by God. But are they touched personally, each one of them? Are we just counting numbers, or are we counting special people that Jesus loves? So I want you this morning to close your eyes, because I want the band to come forward. Because I'm going to pray. My faith this morning is for the gift of prophecy to flow here, because I believe we have to speak life over Standerton as well before we finish today. Over the city and over your life and your family. I believe we've got to prophesy. But before that, I believe God wants to touch you so that you can prophesy. Maybe some of your mouth needs to be touched because you're so ashamed to speak. You're so ashamed to proclaim the word of God. Even in prayer, there's a mute spirit over you. There's a shame over you, and God wants to break that this morning. Some of you've been so hurt that you're just guarding your hearts so much that you can't step out in faith. Some of you physically this morning, God wants to touch you. So Lord, this morning, I want to thank You right now, Lord. I want to thank You right now for Your special people here, Lord. I want to thank You for testimonies in this house, Lord, in this place. Testimonies of You starting a process where you started to touch people, Lord. You've given them salvation. You've given them the gift of being born again, but the process and the journey has been so difficult, Lord. But this morning you want to remind people about how they started and that you started the process. It wasn't their good works or how they sought after you. You came to find people, Lord. And this morning, I almost see a picture, Lord, of a spotlight that's shining on specific hearts here this morning. And I believe there's a couple of people, there's three people here this morning that you feel like you're always under the radar. You're never in God's spotlight. And this morning, God is saying He's shining His spotlight on your heart right now. He's shining His spotlight on your heart and He's saying you are now not under the radar anymore. You're in the limelight, my limelight. Because I want to come and touch the deepest part of your heart. I want to come and break shame over your life. I want to come and break inferiority over your life. God wants to touch you this morning. If that's you, I want you to know that in your heart. I don't want you to raise your hand just yet, but I want you to know if that's you, just say to God, God, thank you for speaking to me right now. That's me. I need your spotlight on my life because I always feel just like outside. And it might be more than three people. I just believe there's a couple of people here. You just feel so inferior. You feel like you're not worthy. And God says, the fact that you're here today, the fact that you're born and alive, that you are living, you are worthy to be used by me. Lord, I pray for some people's faith here. They've had faith for physical healing, but it's just been such a journey and such a struggle, Lord, and their faith is low. I pray that you want to that you today revive their faith, Lord, to trust you for healing again, for physical healing in their own bodies, but also for other people. Some people have been called to lay hands on the sick and to see you doing miracles, but their faith is so low. And I thank you that you revive that excitement that they once had. Lord, and even if they don't get healed personally, I thank you that you administer healing through them, Lord, through their brokenness. Lord, there's some people's hearts, Lord, who still need to forgive, even though you've already ministered the word of forgiveness. Lord, I pray right now that you would so cause forgiveness to come out of their mouth. Some people need to speak forgiveness here this morning because you have been called to minister to very difficult people. You might be a non-white person and you need to minister to white people who have hurt you and who have caused so much hurt in the past, but you have been called to be that good Samaritan where you have been marginalized, but you're going to see someone, you're going to see a Jew represented in South Africa maybe by a white Afrikaans person. You're going to see them and you're going to be called to minister to their hurts, and God's saying the only way you're going to be that good Samaritan and not be that priest and that Levite just walking past, the only way you're going to be that Samaritan, when you have forgiveness in your heart, when you have the true forgiveness of Christ towards all people. And even the other way around, maybe you're a white person and you've been hurt by another culture, you need to forgive. So that you can be the good Samaritan to minister across a cultural barrier, across a resistance, even where there's resistance towards you. God is calling you to be a pioneer, to start ministering across the culture. I believe the Lord really wants to heal hearts here that have been offended in church, even that have been hurt in church. Lord, I pray that you would touch them right now in the name of Jesus, Lord. Just want to tell you a story while the Lord keeps ministering. Just what happened to me a while ago with leaders in Shofar. I was disciplined a little bit by my leaders, but the way it was done was not very positive for me. I didn't think it was great, but I had to forgive the person. I had to say, God, this is you dealing with me, and I know it's not nice, and I can have all sorts of complaints and I can all sorts of things, but I don't want to have resentment and bitterness in my heart towards this person. And I had to forgive. I had to say to God, God, come and help me not to just cause stuff to happen that will just have effects and effects and effects. I'm trying to justify myself. The Lord delivered me from that justification of myself. The Lord truly told me just to, He will cause vengeance to happen. He will cause justification. Because even if that person's wrong, it's God's hand. And some of you, maybe you felt so hurt by leaders in this church or in past churches, you've been so felt undone by. And you're trying to justify yourself even towards God, and God's saying, just leave it. I'm the one who's going to justify you. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. Just let it go. Let it go. And God restored me, and the relationship has been restored. It's so amazing. I can honor the person again. And God wants you to honor that person. He wants you to actually bless that person that has hurt you. He wants you to bless that person. Doesn't matter how justified you feel and how right you feel that you could actually, even according to the word, you could be so right. You can justify yourself, and it's not going to bear good fruit. So just forgive this morning if you need to forgive. Honor that person. Bless that person who has hurt you. But my faith is for you. And Lord, I pray right now that you touch people. Lord, like that lady that I could shake hands with, Lord, I pray right now that you would come and touch people by the hand, Lord. Even though they feel like they've got oil all over their hands, or their hands are dirty, or their hands aren't worthy to shake your hand, I thank you that you're not shaken by that this morning, Lord. I pray that you would touch hearts here in a significant way, in Jesus' name. Oh, Lord, we worship you. We worship you, Jesus. We need your touch, Jesus. At the end of the year, when some people are tired, yeah, I just sense the Lord is saying, I'm going to revive you right now. A holiday will not revive you. It will be good for you physically, but it's not going to revive you in your whole being. God wants to touch you and revive you and give you energy for the calling that he has on your life. I pray for callings yet to be restored again, Lord. Passion to be restored. Some people are pulling this plow and they're supposed to let go because they're supposed to go into a different land. They're not supposed to pull a plow. They're supposed to do something else. They're supposed to plow a different land, but they're pulling this heavy thing. The Lord is saying to you, just let it go. Allow me to move you by your spirit. By my spirit, says the Lord. I want us all to stand this morning while we just continue to worship the Lord. Let's all stand this morning, and if God has spoken to you this morning, Tony, if we can just move the stuff one side, because I want you. Are we going to worship the Lord now with the band? Have you got a song prepared?